I'm a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns and money. This shit has hit the fan.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode number 50 of the Handgun World Show. I can't believe it's been 50 episodes already. 50 times I've pressed this button to say hello to you. And folks, I just want to thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about one of my passions, and that is firearms. You know, if you're kind of new to this show, you're going to find this is a practical show. I don't get real technical. I'm not going to tell you how to trick out your AR-15 or make your 1911 shoot, you know, half-inch groups or one-inch groups or something like that. I'm not a gunsmith. I'm not ex-law enforcement. I'm not ex-military. I'm not a combat trainer. I'm just an ordinary, regular citizen. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting here in El Paso, Texas, dictating this podcast. As you know, if you've been listening to me, I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So you might be wondering, Bob, what are you doing out in El Paso? Well, I'm a salesperson. I'm in business. I've been in sales now, let's see, since 1985, I've been in sales. The company that I work for now, my territory, is the entire state of Texas and Oklahoma. So the last time I checked, El Paso is still in Texas. Quite a ways away from Dallas, but it's still in Texas. So that's why I'm out here. It's beautiful. It's about 82 degrees. Nice dry climate. I kind of like it. It's good to escape some of the springtime humidity. So anyway, in episode 50, I am going to talk about shotguns. I know this is the Handgun World Show, but I am going to take a little bit of a departure, and I'm going to talk about long guns. Sometimes I like to talk about shotguns and rifles. This is one of them, and I figured since this is the 50th time that I've put this podcast out there, let's talk about probably one of the absolute most common self-defense weapons on the planet, and that is shotguns. So the title of this show is Daddy, Get Your Shotgun. And you'll see what I mean when I get into this. And I'm going to talk about things like what type of shotgun to use. I'm going to talk about ammunition. I'm going to talk about buckshot versus birdshot. I'm going to talk about aiming shotguns rather than just pointing shotguns. I'm going to talk about the different types of gauges, the different types of barrels, the different types of chokes, the different types of accessories. I've also got a really cool audio soundbite. You know, I like to put a lot of audio soundbites into this show, so it's not just me talking, so you're hearing from some other experts out there. I'm also going to give you some personal experiences that I've had with shotguns. So with that said, I want to knock out a couple of announcements quickly. This is only going to take about 60 seconds, and then we'll get into the meat of the show. The website is handgunworld.com, handgunworld.com. For those of you who use iTunes, please subscribe to this show on iTunes. You can search Handgun World Show. If you don't use iTunes, you can also subscribe right on the website, and you'll get an email every time I post a new show. And also, please use the comments section. I like to hear from my listeners. Some of you have been sending me a lot of comments, and it's very well appreciated. Some of you have sent me some show suggestions. One listener asked me if I would do a show on backpacking and hiking guns. I am going to do a show on backpacking and hiking guns. It's not something I have personal experience with, but I'm going to do a lot of research. So to the listener who sent me that, stay tuned. It's coming. I like all the show suggestions you guys send me, and so I love comments. You know, I'm an open-minded person, folks. I have a firm belief that your mind's like a parachute. It works best when it's open, and mine is truly open, so I want to hear from you. Also, don't forget about my YouTube channel. I just posted a new video last night on a knife. I like to talk about other things besides guns sometimes, and I did a review on my everyday carry knife. It's an SOG Vulcan, a SOG Vulcan. Fantastic knife. I've carried it now for 6 months. Every single day it never leaves the pocket of the pants that I'm wearing. Go to the YouTube channel. Go to YouTube.com/HandgunWorldShow and look at my most recent review on there. Okay? That's it for the announcements. I like to keep my show non-commercial. So let's dive right into shotguns. Things like defensive shotguns, hunting shotguns, and so forth. There's a lot of misconception about defensive shotguns out there. A lot of people have the wrong idea, and I'm going to talk about that. Some of the misconceptions out there are bigger than the size of Texas. I mean, some of the BS that flies around about shotguns is amazing. I mean, I've heard and I've read statements like, you know, use a shotgun, you can't miss. All you have to do is just point it in the general direction of what you want to shoot and pull the trigger, and the bad guy just magically explodes. That stuff's so much baloney, it just makes my blood boil. I even read a post one time where a guy put on the internet, he says, my 12-gauge will spray lead over an entire wall. Yeah, right, sure. And, you know, I wonder if that guy's ever shot his 12-gauge. You know, the stuff that Hollywood puts out about shotguns is even more misleading. You know, this is not like what you see on TV, folks. It's not where somebody can just take a shotgun from the hip, a pistol grip shotgun from the hip, point it in the general direction of the adversary, and five guys blow up all at once or hit the deck all at once. You know, you see that garbage in the movies. That's crap. Let me share some simple facts about shotguns. And my opinion's going to come out, folks. You know, when you do a podcast like this, my opinion comes out. Let me just tell you, you're free to disagree with anything I say. Go for it. I love disagreements. That's what the comments section is for. But I want to see what you think of this. I'm a firm believer that you can easily miss with a shotgun. And the pattern is very, very short, very tight at short yardage. Folks, you need to go pattern your shotguns. And try me out, okay? Put some double-aught buck in 12-gauge or 20-gauge, I don't care. And go to the range and just run that target out to 5 yards. And shoot it with your shotgun. See how small the pattern is at 5 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards, okay? The distances that you're going to shoot inside your home is probably going to be between 5 and 10 yards. How likely is a shot inside your home going to be more than 10 yards? Okay, now, one load of choice that a lot of people like to use is copper-plated or nickel-plated buckshot. I happen to use that. I keep my 12-gauge loaded with Federal Flight Control copper-plated buckshot. I'm going to get to that and tell you why I like that in a little while. But even if you're just using plain old lead double-aught buck, okay, that pattern's probably not much bigger than the size of a softball at 5 to 7 yards. Okay, you don't believe me, try it out. Now, I'm not talking about birdshot, but even birdshot's going to have a pretty tight pattern at a close distance. So, yes, you can miss. You know, try throwing a softball at somebody that's 7 yards away, especially if they're moving. All right, keep in mind, if you have to shoot a bad guy, the bad guy's probably not going to stand still. If he's standing still, you're lucky, but you're probably going to be moving too. I sure hope you're moving. I don't care if you're shooting inside your house, if you're outside, wherever you are. You're moving off of the X. You're getting out of the way. So while you're moving or while your target's moving, take a softball and just try throwing it at somebody and see how easy it is to miss. It's just as likely you could miss with your shotgun. They do have to be aimed, folks. All right? That's why a lot of shotguns have a big, huge bead up in front, a big bead front sight. Some of you may have shotguns with ghost ring sights. That's good, too. I'll get to that a little bit later. You do have to aim them. You may not have to have the same precision as a rifle or a shotgun, but you do have to shoulder the weapon, shoulder the shotgun, and get a sight picture and aim it. Okay? Now, speaking a little bit about ammunition, lead shot that's plated with either copper or nickel, I like because it flies truer. All right, it doesn't get deformed as much when you shoot it through the barrel. And therefore, it holds a tighter grip, and it also maintains the distance and the effective range of the shotgun. Now, I've also read some stuff that people say, well, my shotgun's effective out to 75 to 100 yards. Yeah, maybe with slugs in it, it might be. But if you're going to take a 75 or 100-yard shot, first of all, I find it difficult to believe that a 75 to 100-yard shot is going to be considered self-defense. I've always struggled with that, you know. People who talk about their AR-15s and their AK-47s or whatever kind of rifles they have. And folks, I love rifles. I have two rifles. You know, I think they're great. But self-defense at 75 to 100 yards, man, I'm telling you what. I don't know what kind of Red Dawn war you think we're going to have to fight, but that's not going to be ordinary self-defense. Things are going to have to get pretty bad. The stink's going to really have to hit the fan in a bad way if you're going to have to shoot self-defense at 75 to 100 yards. I'm not saying it can't happen, but a shotgun is typically going to be 25 yards or less. And folks, I got to tell you, again, my opinion coming out here, but I don't know of a weapon that's easy to buy, cheap to own, cheap to buy, that any civilian can purchase, almost any civilian, more effective than a 12-gauge shotgun with double-aught buck inside of 25 yards. Some people use number 4 buckshot. I'll talk about that too. But it is devastating. I don't know of anything more powerful inside of 25 yards, which is typical self-defense ranges. I'm going to talk about the penetration and the stopping power of shotguns in a few moments. I'm going to get more in-depth into that. But shotguns, keep in mind, they have a very long history in combat. And they've proven to be very effective because they launch multiple projectiles. And that's the secret. Double-aught buck pellets are approximately 33 caliber. And they weigh about 52 to 53 grains each. I'll say that again. They're 33 caliber, and they weigh about 53 grains each. The typical 12-gauge double-aught buck 2 3/4-inch shell has 8 or 9 of these 33 caliber pellets in them. Some of them have 12, most of them 8 or 9. Okay, so one shot from a 12-gauge with double-aught bucks, approximately the same shot-wise, as 4 or 5 shots simultaneously with a 9mm handgun. Okay? If you figure out how much lead and how much it weighs coming out of a shotgun, it's like shooting them about 4 or 5 times simultaneously with a 9mm handgun. I've heard some analysts say that the 12-gauge has about 5 times the stopping power of a 45 ACP pistol. 5 times the stopping power of a 45 pistol. Now, a lot of that depends on who you talk to and what you analyze, but let's just say this. It's a proven man stopper. And folks, when I was a kid growing up in Wisconsin, the very first gun I ever owned, the gun my dad gave me, was an old Stevens Pump 20-gauge shotgun. It was old then. It's really old now. Unfortunately, like a dummy, I sold the first gun that my dad ever gave me. Chokes me up a little bit even talking about that. Shouldn't have done it. Wish I had it back. Folks, don't sell the first gun that your father or your grandfather gave you. But it was an old pump 20-gauge Stevens hunting gun. It had a modified choke in it, and it worked. It worked. First gun I ever owned. I was a little bit short of my 13th birthday, and we did a lot of hunting. We were big, big hunters growing up. I miss those days. We did a lot of goose hunting. I goose hunted with that gun, with a 20-gauge. It was a challenge, but I did it. But let me give you an analogy, okay? When a hunter swings his long-barreled Browning shotgun at the leader of a pack or a wedge of high-flying geese, he's using what's called the multiple projectile concept. And basically he's doing that to increase his chances of getting a hit. But when that hunter takes that same shotgun, that same Browning or Remington or Mossberg long-barreled shotgun, when he shoots the same shotgun at an intruder coming into his house, what he's going for at that time is he's going for the superior terminal ballistics, which is a hit in the center of mass of the intruder, where the pellets, where those 33 caliber, 53 grain pellets penetrate the vital areas of the attacker. So it's a different ballgame. Hunting and self-defense, two completely different ballgames. That's the point I'm trying to make there. But the overall point here is very simple. The proper selection of a good defensive shotgun and good effective ammunition, and combine that with training. You do have to get training with your shotgun, folks. And actually aiming your shotgun, not just pointing at the general area. It gives you one of the most devastating firearms you can easily own and afford. Shotguns are available just about anywhere, folks. There's no reason not to have a shotgun. Even in areas where concealed carry and ownership of handguns is not legal, Even in states like that and cities like that, they typically allow you to own a shotgun. I can think of very few places, even in the world, where you're not allowed to own a shotgun. There are some. I know I have international listeners to this podcast. I know there's some countries that don't allow you to have any guns at all. But in a vast majority of places, it's legal to have a shotgun. Every family needs to have at least one shotgun. Okay? Again, they're legal almost anywhere. Ammo is very readily available, especially 12-gauge. One of the big reasons I'm a fan of 12-gauge is you can find ammo everywhere. Okay? It's also still relatively cheap. It's not very expensive. Okay? I'm going to spend a little bit more time analyzing ammo a little bit later in this podcast. But the good thing about shotguns is it's really easy to pick up the ammo for them, and you can find a large selection of shotguns for sale everywhere. Pawn shops, retail stores, everywhere. Even sometimes private parties just want to sell shotguns that they're not using. You can get some good deals. I got one like that. I'll tell you about it a little bit later here. Okay, so speaking of shotguns, let's talk first of all about what gauge. People say, well, what should I get? 12-gauge, 20-gauge, 16-gauge, 10-gauge. There's primarily four different gauges that you're going to see available in stores. 10, 12, 16, and 20. You really don't see a lot of 10 gauges and 16 gauges anymore. Although one of my best friends when I was a kid, he hunted with a 16 gauge. And I'm kind of sorry to see that the 16 gauge has kind of fallen by the wayside, because it was a really good medium bore shotgun. But, you know, oh well. You know, the market dictates what the manufacturers make. 12 and 20 gauge seem to be the absolute far and away the biggest, most popular selection and the best choice going out there. In my opinion, the best choice out there is a 12 gauge. Now, I'm not saying the 20 gauge is no good. The 20 gauge is very, very effective. And sometimes female shooters prefer the 20 gauge. Fine. Ladies, if you like 20 gauge, get a 20 gauge. You're well defended with a 20 gauge shotgun. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later as well. All right, but you're going to have the widest selection if you get a 12 or a 20 gauge. And for about the last 10 years, the ammunition industry has pretty much had to respond to law enforcement requests. Law enforcement requests have been asking for shotguns with less recoil, loads with less recoil. So the ammo makers have responded. There's a lot of low recoil 12 gauge ammo out there that really doesn't kick all that much, and sometimes even female shooters like that. The ammo has gotten so good, like I use Federal Flight Control copper-plated buckshot. That holds such a tight pattern, it actually increases the range of my shotgun to about 35 yards or so. It's still got a pretty tight pattern and a pretty good effective range out there. Okay, sorry folks, I had to get a drink there. But let's talk about the pellet size of the ammo for a minute. Regular shot runs from about as small as number 12 shot all the way up to triple-aught buck. All right, and as I mentioned, the favorite these days for self-defense is either double-aught buck or number 4 buckshot. To be quite frank, at inside the house ranges, I'm kind of the opinion, you know, inside the house ranges where 10 yards is probably going to be a long shot, the size of the pellets isn't really going to be the most critical thing, in my opinion. Even number 8 birdshot will probably pattern about a 6 to 8 inch circle at inside the house ranges. And it's going to do plenty of damage. And it may not do as much damage as the buckshot, but it's believe me, the bad guy's going to have a bad day. I'm telling you what. Now, a lot of people like number 4 buck. I think it's because you can get about 15 pellets in there. They're not quite 33 caliber pellets. Maybe they're 30 caliber or slightly smaller or something like that. Again, I'm not real technical, so forgive me on that. But more pellets, sometimes people think, well, more pellets flying through the air makes it a little easier to hit my target. That could be true. Number 4 buck's pretty devastating as well. So you might want to consider that too. You know, it's also probably a lot less likely to over-penetrate than double-aught buck. Take your pick when it comes to 12-gauge. If you're shooting a 20-gauge, folks, I definitely would buy the largest buckshot that you can buy on a 20-gauge. It's got less stopping power than a 12. Again, folks, compared to handguns, we're talking about the differences night and day. But there are some disadvantages to shotguns, which I'll get to in a little while. Now, Next, I want to talk about barrels, and then I got a good audio clip to play for you, and then I'll come back on with some questions. But when you talk about the barrel of a defensive shotgun, it begs an obvious question. All right, the biggest, most obvious question about barrels is, what kind of barrel should I have on my defensive shotgun? My opinion, you typically want as short of barrel as you can get away with. Here in the United States, the legal limit is nothing shorter than 18 inches. Got to be 18-inch barrel. The reason you want a short barrel is not because a short barrel shotgun has really a whole lot of ballistic advantage. In fact, it doesn't. It's got a ballistic disadvantage over a long barrel, but because it handles better in confined spaces. In confined spaces like hallways in your house, or if you have to get in your vehicle and you got to leave your house, but you still need to protect yourself, short-barreled handguns handle a lot better inside of vehicles as well. I'm going to talk about shotguns and vehicles in a few minutes. But for the reason I'm talking about, I actually prefer to actually have a handgun as self-defense over a shotgun. You might be surprised to hear me say that, but I would rather actually have a good handgun. You know, my Glock 19, I can maneuver anywhere in my house with my Glock 19. One thing about a long-barreled shotgun, even a shotgun with an 18-inch barrel, okay, moving around corners and in tight spaces in your house sometimes can be a challenge. Also, if the bad guy has the ability to get close to you without you seeing him or you being able to shoot him, it's easier for him to grab a shotgun and get that out of your hands than it's going to be for him to grab a handgun out of your hands. But I'm not going to get off subject too much here. We're talking about shotguns. So let me shift gears a little bit here. All right. I also want you to consider barrel length when you're thinking about a survival situation. You know, I tend to think about things in a survival scenario because I'm kind of a survival-minded guy. If you have to escape your house for some reason, if you have to leave, if things get bad, if something happens and you got to leave your house and you want to take your shotgun with you in your vehicle, it's going to be a lot easier to shoot a short-barreled shotgun from inside that car. Okay? And this is where I really like double-barrel shotguns. Double-barrel coach guns, actually. I'm very strongly considering buying a double-barrel Stoeger coach gun in the near future. One thing I like about coach guns, they're very short. Okay, in fact, Stoeger makes a real nice little double-barrel coach gun with screw-in chokes. I really like this because I can adjust the different types of chokes I can put in there, and I'll talk a little bit about the importance of having chokes. A lot of combat shooters are realizing that having an improved cylinder or a modified choke might be better in a self-defense situation. Holding that pattern tighter for a little bit longer can increase the range and the effectiveness of your shotgun, and that's one argument for chokes. But those little coach guns are very handy for being inside of a vehicle. The reason is there's no receiver, all right? You just got two barrels, and then you got the stock. So it's real short. As a matter of fact, those Stoeger coach guns, for example, they have 20-inch barrels. They have a 20-inch barrel versus a standard 18-inch barrel on a pump, okay? Next time you're at a gun store, ask them to show you a double-barrel coach gun, short one, and stand it up next to a Remington 870 or a Mossberg 500 with an 18-inch barrel. See how much longer the so-called short-barreled pump, how much longer of a gun it is than the double barrel. Now, the double barrel has its disadvantages. Of course, you're limited to just two shots, and I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But because there's no receiver on that gun, it doesn't add to the length of it. Now, Let's talk about pumps, since they're very popular. Most of the home defense pumps are made and sold with 18-inch barrels, and they're pretty easy to find. You can also have a shorter than an 18-inch barrel if you live in a state that permits it. And if you qualify and you're willing to pay the extra money and get a federal tax stamp, then you could own a shotgun with, say, a 14-inch barrel. Not all states permit it, but if you qualify, and pass all the, jump through all the hoops you have to jump through to get the federal tax stamp, then you can have a shotgun with shorter than an 18-inch barrel. Some say it's even easier to handle, and that kind of, plays into common sense. Common sense says it might be. I personally really don't want a really super short-barreled shotgun like that. I don't want to get the federal license, first of all. I kind of take the attitude that the less visible that I can make myself to the gun-hating government and the officials, the better off that I am. Okay? I like to buy firearms whenever possible from private parties where there's no paper trail. That's just me. You might say I'm a little bit paranoid. I'm sorry if you call me paranoid, but that's just kind of the way I am. But then again, my love for privacy, I may have just blown, right? I mean, I've done 50 podcasts on guns. They're probably on to me now. They know that I'm a gun lover, and I've talked about so much about what I own. But I got to tell you, folks, there are some guns I've talked about that I have not talked about on this show that I do own. And I'm just going to reserve that kind of stuff for myself. Anyway, for what I'm going to use a shotgun for, I don't think that a little 14-inch barrel is really all that necessary. But a listener asked me if it was possible in the United States to own shotguns less than 18 inches, and it is possible. But I'm just saying my humble opinion is I wouldn't recommend it. Okay? Keep in mind something I said earlier. For me, a shotgun is usually going to be to defend my property at short range. I'm probably not going to reach for my shotgun inside my home. I carry my handgun with me all the time, 24/7, even when I'm at home. My handgun on my body is going to be a lot easier to access and a lot easier to get to than my shotgun that's in the safe or in the closet. Okay, I actually personally consider shotguns as a property defense gun. What I mean by that is defending me and my family at distances that are too far from my handgun, like out towards the end of my backyard or the end of my driveway, where I might not feel comfortable with my handgun being able to hit the guy at that distance. Okay, shotguns are also for people that may have long distances inside their homes. But I tell you, my shotgun is harder to get to than my handgun, so my handgun's probably going to get the call of duty if I've got to defend myself. 99 times out of 100, it probably is. But for those of you who listen to this show where you're not allowed to own a handgun, and there's quite a few of you that listen from areas like that, or maybe you don't want to own a handgun, then a decent short-barreled shotgun is going to be the most logical choice for you. And like I said, I don't know of any other weapon that's as affordable and devastating as a shotgun. Anybody who's over 21 without a felony record, if you can buy a shotgun, go get one. Everybody should have one, okay? And get one with a short barrel and get a long barrel, a long hunting barrel for it. Most shotguns, especially pumps, it's really super easy to change out the barrels. I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later in the podcast. But before we go any further, I have an excellent audio clip that I want you to listen to from Clint Smith. Maybe some of you have heard this before. Maybe some of you have seen the video. But Clint Smith from Thunder Ranch is going to talk about the Remington 870. It happens to be my favorite shotgun. Nothing against Mossbergs or Brownings or Berettas or Benelli's. Those are all fine shotguns, but the Remington 870 is a classic, and he's going to talk about it. He's got some good points to make, and when he gets done with this audio clip, I'll come back on and share some of my comments and thoughts with you. So here is Clint Smith from Thunder Ranch talking about defensive shotguns. Have a listen.
Hello, I'm Clint Smith. Welcome to Thunder Ranch. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today so that eventually didn't wind up looking like our good friend Tony here at the Stuffed Chicken. We wanted to talk to you about shotguns. I get a lot of inquiries, all kidding aside, from people on almost a weekly basis. I want to buy a pistol. I want to buy a shotgun. And to be very blunt, I had one the other day. A guy called me on the phone without naming names. He kind of goes, hey, me and my partners are going to buy these high-end shotguns. You know, they're all custom combat fighting shotguns and blah, 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 blah. What do you think? And I go, buy a Remington 870. Well, you know, but these guns, you know, they're high-end and they got all, and I go, buy an 870. You're hard-pressed to not be able to use this gun and be able to use it effectively. This is just a plain Jane. This is the way I buy them and use them. It's an 870. It's a 20-inch barrel. This one, you know, the 18 and 20-inch beaded sight. People go, well, you know, it's not very elaborate, and it doesn't need to be. Okay, one of the best things about the 870, all right, is they've been around since 1950 now. They're a rock solid gun. They've always been a rock solid gun. This is another one of mine, and I would call this, in my mind's eye, an elaborate shotgun. This particular gun I've had for about 25 years. This is like my second oldest 870. What I did with this, because of my older eyes, is I put the XS sight from Old Dave Biggers at XS, and it's good because of my eyes. I get it, and it's got a night insert so you can see it, okay? This, of course, is the stock that they put the cartridges right in them, and you have them, the side saddle people. But this is a pretty basic gun. The only thing I'm not real big on shotguns is they have those big elaborate forearms. This is one from Ryan Wilson, and the deal with it is it was a little long and I cut it off myself, but why I like it is because it has just a simple mount for a shotgun. Nothing big, elaborate, okay? It's basically, you know, I got about $200 in the whole thing. When I cycle the gun, it doesn't interrupt the sling if I want one. It gives me a light mounted system that works very well in the sense of it's moving. So it's a pretty solid rig to use. This is my idea of an elaborate one. But for most of people, you know, if you're looking at it, especially now as, you know, the future is probably has the potential to be a little bit trying for us as gun owners. People go, I want to buy a gun for home defense, but I'm not sure, and I can't afford a $3,000 AR-15, and you know what? You don't need a $3,000 AR-15, and you don't need a $3,000 pistol. What you need is probably to get yourself a really good pump shotgun. Remingtons are real good, and so we don't just aggravate everybody on the planet. A lot of people are well taken with the Mossberg shotguns. I don't know. I don't have one. I'm not tricing them. I simply don't know that much about the gun. 870 has always kind of been my shotgun. I'm just kind of an 870 guy. But don't overlook these guns. You know, they're real plain and simple. You know, if you wanted to, you could put a side saddle on it from Milt Sparks. Holds extra 5 rounds. You know, you can, that bead sight that I showed you, that big one with the night insert, that actually just adheres with 2-part epoxy right onto this bead. You don't have to add anything or drill anything. I don't know about you, but I'm about as mechanical as a bowling ball. So, you know, the drill with it is to keep the guns really simple. If you, you know, someone said to me, I want a gun for home defense, you'd be hard pressed to do any better than the 870. They're just a rock solid, dependable gun. If you think about them, you know, when you start looking at it, that's a real good consideration. The shotguns inside your homes, you know, they're pretty effective tools. Hey, we want to thank you for watching WebBlast. Come back and see us.
All right, I don't know about you, but I'm about as mechanical as a bowling ball, too. So I can relate to Clint Smith on that one. Now, as you heard, he's an 870 guy. Well, so am I. I love the Remington 870. But I got to tell you, Mossbergs make very nice shotguns. So does Benelli. So does Beretta. Take your pick. There's a lot of good ones out there. The Mossberg 500 series are excellent shotguns. Mossberg 500s, Mossberg 590s. Mossberg, if you want just a good basic home defense shotgun with no bells and whistles, for like $169 at a store here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area called Academy Sports and Outdoors. Matter of fact, I can see an Academy store about a half a mile from where I'm sitting here in El Paso. They have Mossberg Maverick 88 shotguns for like $169 home defense models. So, you know, folks, every family needs to have a shotgun. They're very affordable weapons. Okay, so next, I want to talk about choke. When you talk about shotguns, the subject of choke always comes up. Choke is the degree of constriction that's machined into the muzzle end of the barrel. It's a way of controlling the size of the pattern at different distances. And for a lot of years, combat shotguns came with cylinder bore chokes. In other words, it's just a smooth cylinder bore. But a lot of shotgun fighting experts I've been noticing have been advocating that a certain amount of choke is a good thing to have, especially even with buckshot. Improved cylinder or even modified chokes work pretty well with buckshot. It tightens up the pattern a little bit, and therefore it extends the shotgun's effective range. So if you can get a shotgun with a choke, like improved cylinder or modified choke in a short barrel, by all means get that. And it's another reason why I like the Stoeger Coach gun with the screw-in chokes. Any short-barreled shotgun with screw-in chokes are really good because I can select whether I want to have modified or improved cylinder. If I buy that gun, I'll probably have improved cylinder on one side and modified on the other. Use the improved cylinder barrel for the close-in shots and the modified choke barrel for the longer-range shots. Okay. The other nice thing about double barrel shotguns is you can fire 2 shots with those real quick. Now, I know you have a limitation of only 2, but, you know, I tell you what, all you got to do is pull that trigger twice, bam, bang, you know, and you can fire 2 shots from a double barrel shotgun real fast. Some of those shotguns, you can fire 2 at once. I wouldn't advise that, but you know what's really nice about those double barrel shotguns? For a lot of new shooters, female shooters, and kids, you can buy those Aguila mini shells. Aguila, A-G-U-I-L-A, Aguila mini shells. They're great for practicing low recoil. Some pump shotguns won't feed them very well, but you don't have to worry about whether the shotgun will feed it if you're using it in a double barrel. So that's one good thing is, you know, a double barrel, you can use any ammunition you want. Okay? So, hopefully that gives you some things to think about with chokes. Now let's talk about accessories. Accessories on your shotgun. I'm kind of like Clint Smith. I like plain Jane shotguns. That's just me. That's just my style. And if you watch a lot of the movies out there or read a lot of the gun magazines, you can get kind of confused. You might be kind of confused between what a Hollywood fighting shotgun looks like and a plain Jane Stevens pump like the one that my dad gave me back when I was 13. Okay? There's a lot of modern warriors out there. I like to call them internet commandos. And a lot of them are convinced that they have to have all these gizmos and gadgets and stuff all over their shotgun in order for it to be real-world effective. To me, I don't think so. I'm kind of the opposite of that. I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy, I guess. All right. My view is this. If the shotgun was effective 25 years ago, it's probably still effective today. I think the competency of the shooter is more important than the parts that you have on your gun. My shotgun is a Remington 870 Wingmaster. I got a really good deal. I bought it used. I bought it from a dealer that I know, and it doesn't even look like it was hardly ever shot before I got it. I called Remington and I had him run the serial number. It was made in 1993. And I got to tell you, I looked this gun over very, very well. I could not find any evidence of somebody firing it. The dealer told me that the guy that traded it in kept it in a safe and never shot it. I believe that. I believe he did keep it in a safe and never shot it. The Wingmaster is an excellent Remington 870. Some people think it's the best one out there. Has a beautiful wood finish. I'm afraid to take this thing hunting because I'm afraid to beat it up. I may have to get a different gun with a more durable finish for hunting, although a lot of people go out hunting with the 870 Wingmaster. I bought a short 18-inch home defense barrel for it. It's a cylinder bore barrel with the big bead sight you heard Clint Smith talking about, and I got an excess sight that I glued onto the front of it. That's it. That's my setup. Okay? I do have an extra shell carrier. I have a butt cuff on it, and that's it. I can put an extra 5 shells in there. That's all. It's pretty plain Jane, pretty simple, but pretty effective. So let me talk about some devices and modifications, though, because I think this is a subject that bears talking about. For starters, let me talk about this. A blued steel and walnut gun, like my 870 Wingmaster, it works just as well as a shotgun that's tactical, matte black finish all over the place. Okay, the bad guy, folks, is not going to know the difference if he's shot with a black shotgun or a walnut stock shotgun. It doesn't matter. It's still double aught buck 12 gauge coming at him and putting him down. Now, if you're law enforcement, you're on a SWAT team, if your job involves kicking in crack house doors, then maybe you've got a need for a few extra shots and some of those tactical accessories. And folks, if that is your job, God bless you. I tell you what, I salute you. I salute you if that's your job in law enforcement, because you put your butt on the line each day so that people like me can sleep a little bit better at night and enjoy some of the freedoms that I enjoy, and even the freedom to do this podcast. So thank you. Thank you to all the law enforcement and military people out there that are busting in crack house doors, enemy doors, and everything that you do. Thank you very much. Ordinary citizens, if you buy the extra long extensions and screw them onto the front of your magazine tube, there's a very good chance you're probably not going to use those extra few shots. I know I might get some criticism over this. I might get flamed on email a lot here. Okay? But in fact, it's my opinion that the extra long magazine tubes that add 2 or 3 shells, it's my opinion that sometimes it upsets the balance of the shotgun. It upsets the weight of it. It makes it a little bit too front heavy. A little too harder. It makes it harder to get a good aim with it because the gun's front heavy. Okay, it wasn't meant to have the extra couple shots in the front. Okay, there are other types of ammo carriers. There's good side saddle carriers. There's butt cuffs like what I have on mine. Speed feed stocks, you know, stuff like that. I would say it's a good idea to keep extra ammo close by. But even some of those extra accessories can be kind of questionable. Some of those can get in the way in a high stress situation of self defense. So I would say just be careful with accessories. There is one accessory I think is good to have. I'm going to talk about that here in just a second. But if you have what's called a dedicated combat shotgun, you know, there's a lot of people that might be listening to this that own two shotguns. Maybe you got one that's dedicated combat shotgun, and you got another one dedicated hunting shotgun. All right. Then you might need ghost ring sights or something like that. Okay? You know, if you're going to be shooting slugs out of it. But even still, private citizens having to shoot a slug, take a 50-yard shot, 75-yard shot using your shotgun slug, you might as well just go reach for your rifle at that point. Okay, like I said, it's questionable if you're shooting somebody at 75 yards and calling it self-defense anyway, but go get your rifle. Now, if you have to have ghost ring sights, I really like the ones that are made by Wilson Combat. I think they make the best ghost ring sights. The downside of that is it's going to have to be a dedicated self-defense shotgun because the gunsmith's going to have to drill holes in the top of your receiver to install that rear aperture sight. So that kills the ability of that shotgun doubling as a hunting gun for all practical purposes. Okay, but if yours is a shotgun that's dedicated for dealing with home intruders, it probably doesn't need to have ghost ring sights because you're probably not going to be taking those long shots anyway and those extremely precise shots. Again, you do have to aim a shotgun. You're probably not going to need anything like a red dot and laser system. I've seen those put on shotguns. Save your money, folks. Invest it in good ammo and practice. Okay? And let's talk about slings for a minute. Unless you're going to be carrying your shotgun on a 13-mile recon patrol or something like that, you probably don't even need a sling either. You know, that's one of those, everybody thinks that they have to have a sling on the shotgun. Be careful. All right, Clint Smith's got one on his. I like the kind. Just make sure you get a, if you're going to get a sling, get one. Go watch that video, by the way. I'll put a link to it. Get one like his that doesn't get in the way when you're shooting. That's the main thing you got to remember about slings. Now, a little while ago, I said that there is an accessory that I think you do have to have that I'm going to be buying very shortly for my Remington 870. And that is a light. I highly recommend having a good, simple-to-operate light, one that's integrated into the fore-end. Surefire seems to have a monopoly on shotgun lights. A good, powerful light I really like, because when you put one of those on your shotgun, it gives you an advantage, a couple of things. Not only does it give you a shield of light to help you, and some of them are so bright they can blind your attacker. It also helps you be real sure of your target, especially in low light, in darkness. Okay? So basically, I'm not a big favor of any modifications or accessories that lengthen, widen, unbalances, or complicates your shotgun, or adds a lot of weight. The Surefire lights really don't add too much weight, and it's the only accessory that I like that requires a battery. Okay. Anything else that requires a battery, red dots, lasers, and stuff like that, I'm just not a big fan. Again, if you want to throw some comments on there and set me straight and tell me why that's a good idea, I would love to hear your feedback. My thinking is keep it simple. The less that can go wrong, the better. And think about this. If the fighting gets to the point where you have to go for your shotgun, folks, you're in dire straits. I mean, you are. You're in deep stuff there, and you don't want anything to go wrong. Okay? Because you're probably in a situation where it's the end of the line for either you or the bad guy. Don't let it be the end of the line for you by something going wrong. Okay? Don't let anything happen to you. I need the listeners on this show. Oh, I'm just kidding. All right? You guys are my friends that listen to this show. I don't want anything to happen to friends. I don't want something to go wrong while you're playing around with your tactical accessories on your shotgun and you get killed. Okay. Oh, and by the way, one more thing I want to say about shotguns. Folks, you need a shotgun with a buttstock. Okay? Please don't get a pistol grip shotgun. It's my humble opinion that pistol grips take a good shotgun and they turn it into a piece of useless junk. Seriously. Shotguns are surprisingly easy to miss with, folks. Even under really good circumstances, you can miss with a shotgun. But you know what happens when you don't have a buttstock on there? When you put a pistol grip on there, it makes it very, very, very difficult to control. Have any of you listening to this podcast, you ever shot a pistol grip 12-gauge with double-aught buck? It might be fun at the range. It might be something cool to do. But it's tough to get a good aim. And again, a lot of people who put pistol grips on their shotgun, they're the kind of people thinking all I got to do is spray and pray. Shotgun shooting is not about spraying and praying, folks. Go to a tactical shotgun course once. Okay? My IDPA club has tactical shotgun matches and tactical carbine matches. You're not going to see anybody with a tactical shotgun doing very well with a pistol grip on it. Okay? You're not going to see a whole lot of SWAT teams kicking in doors and clearing rooms with a shotgun with a pistol grip on it. I'm not talking about the AR-15 style collapsible stock. Those are good. Those are pretty cool. The Nox stocks are pretty cool. They also have a tendency to reduce recoil. I'm just talking about people that screw a pistol grip on the end of their shotgun. I strongly, strongly recommend against that. Okay, now in closing, I want to talk about action type, and I don't want this podcast to run on too long, but let's talk about the action type. People think, well, should I get a pump, a semi-auto, or a double barrel for self-defense? Okay, let me state the obvious again. I believe your shotgun has to be utterly reliable. It has to work. And so using this reasoning that it's got to be absolutely reliable and quick and easy to use, I would say a pump or a double barrel is going to be your best bet. Now, for those of you who think that a double barrel shotgun cannot be fired quickly and reloaded quickly, go to a cowboy action shooting match. Watch those guys manipulate their double barrel shotguns. Watch them shoot them and watch them reload them. They're quick. All right? If you're doing your job, most of the time, two shots out of your shotgun is going to be all you need. Now, semi-automatic shotguns. There's some good ones out there. Mossberg is making a really good semi-auto shotgun right now that's very affordable, a Mossberg 930. And I've heard great reviews on that it's very reliable. Sega is a Russian manufacturer that makes a shotgun semi-auto with an AK-47 style action. Those are supposed to be the cat's meow when it comes to semi-automatic shotguns. There are some limitations. Some of them can be ammo finicky. That's one thing you got to be real sensitive of and be aware of, is that some of these semi-automatic shotguns can be very ammo sensitive. Some of the low brass, some of the low recoil loads, sometimes those don't cycle real well in your shotgun. So you're going to have to practice. You're going to have to pattern your shotgun. I would recommend giving your shotgun the same 1,000 round trigger job that you give any of your handguns or your rifles, and by the time you get done firing 1,000 rounds. Yes, folks, even if you have sore shoulders when you're done, fire your shotgun 1,000 rounds before you consider it suitable for self-defense. Go buy the low recoil, soft shooting rounds. Shoot real low recoil, low brass bird shot if you have to, but practice with it. Just realize that for utmost reliability, a pump or something like a double action or single shot is definitely going to give you the greatest reliability. Okay? Semi-automatic shotguns, they're undeniably very appealing. All right, I do like the concept of throwing one up to your shoulder, and you got as many as 6 rounds of buckshot, you know, ready to go by just pressing the trigger on each shot. And the technology's really improved. I mean, when I was a kid, Remington and Browning seemed to be the only games in town that had shotguns that were worth a damn when it came to semi-automatics. But now Beretta, Mossberg, Benelli, quite a few others. Like I said, the Mossberg 930, FN makes some very good semi-automatic shotguns. So I don't think that you would be under-defended by any means. Just make sure that it's a reliable gun. So I think the best balance of quality, reliability, price, and putting all those together, reliability, quality, price, shootability, I don't think you can go wrong with something like a Mossberg 500 or the Mil-Spec 590 shotguns or a Remington 870. As Clint Smith said, Remington's been around over 50 years. The 870 has been around over 50 years, is what I meant to say. There's millions of these shotguns in circulation. Mossberg's been around a long time. They're proven. You know, check out the Benelli Supernova. If your budget is a little bit higher than most, Benelli makes a really nice pump shotgun that's affordable. They make some really super nice semi-automatics that are in the $1,000 range, but the Benelli Supernova is a reasonably priced, very smooth, you can shoot 3.5-inch shells. Oh, and by the way, folks, when I'm a big fan of using 2 3/4-inch 12-gauge shells. You know, when you get the 3-inch and 3.5-inch magnums, I got to tell you what, the recoil on those is so nasty. It's hard for most people to get a follow-up shot. You got pretty good stopping power with 2 3/4-inch shells. Okay, use 2 3/4-inch. I think you're going to be able to put the bad guy down with 2 3/4. That's just my opinion, but stick with something where you can get a good follow-up shot off. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, if you already own a sporting Remington 870 or you own a hunting Mossberg 500, just go buy a short barrel for it. It's really super easy. I mean, it's 2 minutes to change out the barrel. I keep mine at home with the short barrel on it. I don't do a whole lot of hunting with a shotgun, so mine's at home all the time with the 18-inch cylinder bore barrel on it. Sure wish I had a choke on that barrel, but like I said, may end up getting one of those coach guns anyway. But if I want to go hunting, it's a real fast barrel change. It actually came with a real nice ribbed 28-inch hunting barrel with an excellent bead sight on the front of it, so I'm a happy camper with that shotgun for $350. I think I walked out of there with a pretty good deal. So, folks, with this, I'm going to bring the show to a close. I hope I've given you some good ideas and things to think about when it comes to owning a shotgun, defending yourself with a shotgun, equipping your shotgun, ammo choices, and things like that. One thing I'll say real quick before I wrap up, there are some people that are of the school of thought that it's a good idea to alternate, if you have a pump shotgun, alternate your ammo with slugs and double-aught bucks. That's not a bad idea. You know, one round of double-aught buck, one round of slug, one round of double-aught buck, or maybe a couple of double-aught buck first and then a couple of slugs afterwards. I'm not a big shotgun slug fan. Like I said, you know, I'm not going to beat the dead horse, but if I'm going to take a shot over 50 yards, I'll be going for my rifle. But if you don't have a rifle, if you can't afford to get a rifle right now, then, you know, you'd be amazed what you can do with shotgun slugs. They're going to recoil, but you'd be amazed how accurate they really can be. Just go out there and practice with them. So the ammo versatility is why I say, Daddy, get your shotgun, because every family needs to have one. So with that, I want to say thank you. My name is Bob Main. This is episode number 50 of the Handgun World Show, where we just got done analyzing shotguns. And I, first of all, folks, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you 50 times. You keep on listening. I'll keep on trying to bring you the best content that I possibly can as just a regular guy, a sales guy on the street trying to make a living and talking about my favorite hobby. So, thanks again for tuning in to episode number 50. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. This shit has hit the fan. Guns and money.